Welcome to episode 4 of Jackson's American Tales, ordinary people with extraordinary life stories, and we have an extraordinary person on deck for sure. The one, the only, Madison's own John Kroc. He is a wonderful man, a, can't even say former Marine because Marines never retire, a humanitarian, and a really good friend of Santa. We're going to talk to John all about his military service, when he decided to join the Marines.
It was easier than living with my dad working on that farm.
So you're going to find out about some of the awesome places he was able to go to while he was on tour.
But every country I was in, I actually tried to learn their culture, some of their language, and I didn't impose my American values on them.
And we're going to find out about some of the awesome humanitarian activities he does with the Dane County Humane Society.
Ground in the sewers of Monona to rescue a baby fox that was trapped in there. Oh yeah, I've been bit in the face by one, and one been for the safety glasses, I probably would have lost an eye if not both.
Enjoy this week's episode of Jackson's American Tales. I am very, very excited to hear this guy's story. I've known this gentleman for a number of years now, but I know there's a lot more behind the beard and under the skull cap than I know. He is... Now, I'm putting a word on here, but I'm not sure if this is the right word. He's a retired Marine, because I've heard once a Marine, always a Marine.
Right. I'm still a Marine.
Still
a
Marine, but okay, so
retired.
Okay, I didn't know if I, okay, I didn't know how strong your level of badassness is, if we're allowed to put that on there. You are one of the park techs for the city of Madison, beautifying our wonderful parks.
Parts technician. I keep all the parts for the city equipment.
Oh, parts technician.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And then a volunteer at not only the Dane County Humane Society, but Bratfest and a number of other awesome local nonprofits and charities, events, general shenanigans.
Even JCAF.
Yes, and even JCAF. And you're a really good friend of Santa. Which I think is an absolute awesome thing. We are joined by John Kroc. Did I say that correctly?
Well, it's more pronounced Kroc, like crock pot, but like,
okay.
I've heard them all.
Okay, we had a guest in here before, Jason Hafeman, and he's had it as well. So with the name, it's spelled Kraak, correct?
That's correct.
But it's pronounced Kroc.
Yes.
And do you have nicknames? Is it tough growing up with a name like that?
Like I said, I heard them all. It was tough. I could care less anymore.
So where are you from?
I'm from Madison here originally.
Oh, really? East side or west side?
West side. Right over by West High, actually.
And is that where you went to high school at?
I went to high school at West High. I went to Cherokee Middle School. Like I know somebody else is going to Cherokee Middle School.
My daughter just graduated from Cherokee Middle School and will be going to Madison West. I can't tell you how happy that makes me to know that she's following the footsteps of, honestly, I think some great alumni that they've had. You look at me.
Are you sure? You look how I turned out.
despite your best efforts, you turned into a pretty decent guy, I have to say. Despite your mother's best efforts, too. She's a wonderful young lady. So what kind of kid were you? Were you a troublemaker? Were you a good kid?
I was I'm going to say I was a real good kid. However, though, I remember sneaking out of the house almost every night. I learned to walk real quiet because my parents' bedroom was underneath the upstairs porch that we had.
What was your method for sneaking out? You going out the window or are you walking out of the house?
Oh, I go out the window. I'd walk across that second story porch real quietly. Then I climb down the side of the house.
Did you ever get caught?
No. I was never caught.
Wow. Because I imagine like you coming down that porch and your dad just standing there with his arms folded. Oh, back up. You go back up the way you came down.
Well, that's how I got back in.
Really?
Yeah, I go back in the same way.
Well, we'll get into your unnatural climbing abilities that have come to help you, I'm guessing, in more ways than one in your life. Were you a good student? Were you studious?
Yes. I held like a B average all through school, but I never studied.
Okay. What year did you graduate high school?
Let's see. Dinosaurs were still roaming the... I think it was 79.
70? Okay. All right. Yeah. It's not a bad year there. You know, growing up right in the middle of the 70s. Did you get down with
the... disco? You bet.
Yeah.
John Travolta and me.
Just about to ask. Did you have a white jumpsuit by any chance, or a leisure suit?
I had a leisure suit, but it was not. I had a couple. They were, one was powder blue. That's the only one I remember. I don't remember ever having a white one.
Oh, man.
And platform shoes, too.
Oh, really?
Those were awesome.
Oh, I bet. Get the ones with the fish bowls in there. Get yourself a cane. There you go.
I wanted fish bowls. Never got them.
The maintenance on those, you don't want to have to feed your own shoes.
Well, but that's where you put fake fish in there.
Oh, that's, okay. Yeah, see, you're a thinker. So, did you work any jobs while you were in high school?
I worked my cousin's farm up by Blue Mounds.
What kind of farm?
Dairy farm.
Okay, milking cows?
Milking cows, baling hay, growing corn, wheat.
Good times.
Hardest I ever worked, and I miss it.
Yeah, did you do that all through high school?
Actually, middle school through high school. And in high school, I also worked at what's now Walgreens, was Rent-A-Bombs.
Wait, hang on. Did you just say rent-a-bombs?
No, Ren-a-bombs. There's no T in there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we always call it rent-a-bomb.
Yeah, I meant that's a place where Wile E. Coyote shops when he's trying to chase down the Roadrunner. He gets those anvils and those big things, that, like the bomb, the cartoon bomb with a wick already lit on it.
Well, yeah, you know, I can relate to that.
What was Rent-a-bombs?
It was a drugstore and a soda fountain. With a restaurant in there too.
Now, wait a minute here. Now, for those who may not know what a soda fountain is, was this like you put the flavoring in and then you put the carbonation in, or was this just like, you know, like it was an old time soda fountain?
It was the old time soda fountain drugstore, like on Andy Griffith. You ever watch Andy Griffith
yes,
show?
Yes, that's so cool.
Yeah, there was a chain of them here in Madison, in the area in Dane County or around Madison, and they actually. Sold out to Walgreens back in like 79, 80, somewhere in there.
And why didn't Walgreens keep the soda fountain part of the business, you know? Like, that could be huge right now. I'd be there. We'd be recording this from there.
I'd be too. I was out there looking for that hot dog cart from the other day.
Yeah. I ate him out of business. They had to go restock when they were out here. So did you go to, what'd you do after high school? Did you go to college or what'd you do?
I actually enlisted in the Marine Corps. And left, got away from here, never to come back to Madison again, ever again.
Is that what your goal was? Like, yep. I'm gonna go travel the world?
Well, just get out of Madison, get away, you know.
Now, there are currently five branches of the military, and you have a choice of each one of those five. Now, most people won't make that decision that you made. And nothing taking away from any other branch of the military. I don't want to. You know, I don't need a sailor showing up here and trying to fight me in his white suit. but why the Marines?
They had better looking uniforms.
You mean like the dress blues, or do you mean like when you're fighting?
The dress blues. No. Actually, what it was I do know how to swim, but I didn't think I could ever swim across an ocean if I was on a ship that went down. I hate to fly. I'm terrified of flying. The Army was just, well, the Army.
I'll let you say that.
I have a lot of friends that were in the Army or are still in the Army. It was more for the camaraderie and stuff that was brought up about the Marine Corps.
Yeah, that's what I love about people that were in whatever branch of service. You guys love giving the business to the other branches. Everyone thinks that they're in the superior, they're in the top of the pops, and then they love giving business to their buddies.
Oh, yeah, it's a lot of fun. Yeah, it's like I'm in the VFW over here, and, oh, God, you should hear some of the bantering that goes on back and forth.
So where were you, what was basic training like?
It was easier than living with my dad working on that farm.
So your dad was kind of a drill instructor?
Yeah, my way or the highway.
Did he have any former military experience?
Yeah, he was in World War II in the Army.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Did you think that made him a little bit tougher?
No, he was an iron worker too, and he told me if I ever went into the trades, he disowned me, so I joined the Marine Corps, and he wasn't happy, but too bad.
You weren't in the trades.
I wasn't in the trades.
So where was the first place you were shipped out once basic training was done? Where did you go?
I went to school down at Camp Lejeune for logistics. Then I went to...
What's logistics?
Supply, motor, you know, just how to move stuff around. And
okay. Which sounds like it would be easy. Oh, you're just going to, you know, you're running a FedEx truck. No. You got to get things into bad areas that don't have roads, don't have airports, things like that.
And those that do have roads and airports.
Yeah. And people around and things like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Then I went over to Okinawa and Okinawa, Japan. Then I got lucky and I was sent up to Iwakuni, Japan, which is only about 30 miles south of Hiroshima.
How were things at that time?
They didn't glow in the dark.
Okay.
I might glow in the dark now. I spent so much time there. I loved to travel. I mean, I'd go up there. Back in the early 80s, I knew Hiroshima like the back of my hand.
Really? How long were you there?
About 18 months.
Wow.
Every chance I'd get, I'd go there because I'm a big history buff too.
How much downtime do you get when you're there? Because you're working, you're there to do a job, but you get some time off. How much time?
Usually it's like every weekend off, and unless you have duty, you have to catch some like walk around, make sure nothing happens.
Yeah,
but it was like a 9-to-5 job. The military is actually like a 9-to-5 job unless you're training, yeah, or unless you catch the extra duty of
Yeah, unless you're like on the front lines and you're in a foxhole, I suppose.
That's deployed.
Yeah, then on Saturday you get to go out and have a burger with your buddies then.
Or a beer too.
Or
one or two.
Trust me, I've got a lot of friends in there too. They don't know moderation. So you were in Okinawa. So what were you doing there? Were you doing logistics?
Yeah, supply and logistics. Exactly. Okay. Getting parts for all the stuff they needed, the equipment they needed. To keep the equipment up and running, I get it, order it from the United States and it'd be shipped over.
Now, I imagine the people that you're working with generally are, I would assume, Americans because you're in the military, so you got that around. But when you're not, like when you're off on the weekend, you're in Japan.
Yes.
Do you speak Japanese?
No. Not that I could get by with.
And you're also tall, so you're gonna stick out. Over there, how did you ever do anything? Do they speak English?
They speak English. I really, it's been 20, 30. Okay, I'm gonna stop counting
over
the years because I'm old. But every country I was in, I actually tried to learn their culture, some of their language, and I didn't impose my American values on them. I accepted them as for who they were and their culture, and I got along great with them.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's like everybody's an individual. Don't impose your stuff on me, and I won't do it to you.
Yeah, and you're a guest in their country while you're in there.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. Like, we wouldn't want someone coming over here in our country and doing that. So that's a lead by example. That's a great way. Now, what was the weirdest thing? Because this is a 100% fact. The Japanese eat some of the weirdest stuff on the planet. Like anytime, every week there's a news story about some fast food restaurant that has some kind of strain. Like Burger King's All Black Burger is the rage in Japan. What was the weirdest thing you ate while you were over there, if you can remember?
Yeah, try to remember. Well, I found out I was allergic to seafood.
Oh, no.
I ate octopus.
And did you end up in the hospital?
No, I just get really, really sick.
Oh, like heathen sick?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Want to be around me when.
I'm going to assume that I'm allergic to octopus because there's nothing, there doesn't seem to be anything appealing. I've never looked at octopus and been like, I'd like to cook you up and dip you in butter. Nah, I'd like you to get away from me.
Now, seaweed dipped in butter is pretty darn good.
Really?
I ate seaweed over there.
I'd pretty much, you take anything, dip it. Yeah, I could take this pen in my hand and dip it in butter. And it tastes like butter.
Ketchup, mustard, you're good.
So you were in, you're in Okinawa, you said, for 18 months or in Japan for 18 months?
Yeah.
Where'd you go after that?
Let's see, came back to the United States. Then I actually re-enlisted and went to go over to Beirut. Again, the camaraderie, a lot of my friends that I met in Okinawa were stationed with the unit that was going to deploy to Beirut. So
how were things in Beirut at that time?
Oh, that's when we were the peacekeepers.
So not good?
Not good.
Okay, because when you were in Japan, I'm guessing you were there, things were still getting repaired a bit after World War II.
No, it was already built. Yeah, it was already built.
Never would have known it.
There was the historical sites and stuff, but like where they dropped the atomic bomb.
Yeah.
I mean, that place is still there. It's called Peace Park.
Mm.
And that thing was I actually got to see the Pope there.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not even a religious guy, but the Pope's cool. That's cool.
I'm not religious either, but boy, there was one thing, because I'd been through that museum in there quite a few times. And the further you got through, walk through the museum, the more intense the pictures, relics all got. And it was a really sunny April day when he walked in. And you could tell time it by the way he was going through that museum. It clouded up. It actually snowed. Then it started clearing up. And then he came out. And it was all sunny.
Which pope was it?
John Paul II.
Oh, great pope.
Yeah, he was great.
He's one of, honestly, he's one, the one we got now. Love the guy.
I love him too.
Love him too. And once again, I'm an atheist. Love this pope. But John Paul II, I mean, if you've got... If you've got Pope trading cards, that's your Babe Ruth right there.
There you go. Actually, yeah, the Babe Ruth of the Popes.
Without a doubt. So were you nervous going to Beirut? Because it was, I'm guessing it was a bit more aggressive over there than it was in Japan.
Oh, yeah. It was, yeah, I was nervous. You can't say, nobody can say they weren't, but mm-hmm. I was with all my friends, first time I was ever on a ship.
How old were you?
22.
So you're still full of piss and vinegar.
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
Yeah. First time I tried chewing tobacco too on a ship that was rocking. Didn't work too good.
Did it go well?
No, didn't work too well.
what? Where is Beirut? Is that south?
It's in Lebanon, right next, north of Israel.
Oh, okay. So that's in. Oh, okay. That's over in
the Mediterranean.
Okay. I'm not the best with geography. I didn't know if that was down in South America somewhere.
No. That's, yeah, over in the Mediterranean. It's got Lebanon to the north, Syria to the east of it, and then Israel to the south of it.
So how long were you in Beirut?
8 months.
Really?
Yeah.
What was it like?
Hot. Well, cold and hot, just like here.
Oh.
All four seasons.
Okay.
Yeah.
Deserty? What's the climate there?
Yeah, it was more deserty. Beirut itself used to be like the Paris of the Mediterranean until they had their civil war.
And then, yeah, not so much.
Right.
So were you there, were you deployed there, and were you active, like live fire active? Were you, what was your role when you were there?
Again, I was with doing the logistics, keeping all the guys and stuff and food. Beans, bullets, and Band-Aids is what we called it.
Okay.
And, yeah, I actually, because my rifle actually had a bent barrel, I turned that in, and I used to carry the M60 machine gun. And we'd go out on patrols, too.
What's that like?
Well, Robin Williams or some comedian said it best of all, I don't know why these guys in Beirut are all in camouflage. They should have like building prints and stuff on there to blend in. Instead of having cami, oh, look, that bush move, get him.
So you were in town then? You were in
lived at the airport, and then because of the job that I did and a few other guys, we'd actually take the supplies out to the American University on the outskirts of town. So we actually did the convoys back and forth, too.
Did you ever have to deal with live fire?
Yep.
How often does that happen?
Not much.
Not much? What's that like the first time that someone's shooting at you?
You're protecting yourself.
Well, I imagine.
So
instincts and training kicking?
Yeah, instincts and training kick in.
Now, what about like later that night? Like after everything went down, you're calmed down. I mean, what's...
We built a bar in the basement of the building we lived in. That's what...
All right. Was there a lot of stuff that maybe you had to do? You just didn't want to think about what it was that happened because it might happen again tomorrow? Was there any of that kind of thing? Or was it just like, hey, look, that's why we're here?
We're here to do a job, and I'm here with all my friends that I trust. That I have their back, they have my back.
So after Beirut, where'd you go after that?
Came back here. Was actually on recruiting duty in Chicago.
That don't sound too bad. Working in a recruiter's office?
Yeah, but you know me. I'm honest. Do you remember the old Isuzu, Joe Isuzu?
Absolutely, yes.
He's lying. I bought an Isuzu pickup truck, and in order for me to buy it, I made the deal or the caveat that I had to have that life-size cutout of Joe Isuzu that said he's lying. I stuck it up in the recruiting office.
So you weren't there very long.
Oh, no, I was there 3 years, but boy, did my boss get mad. I've always been a little joker.
Yeah, got to have a little bit of fun with it. So what year was that when you were doing the recruiting? Is it in the 80s?
85 to 88.
Okay, all right. So, what'd you do after that, after you're done with recruiting?
Let's see. Then I went, I got married.
You got married?
Yeah.
Yeah?
And I was married for 10 years because I was married for 10 years because of the fact I was deployed overseas for 9 of it. Because as soon as I got back down to Camp Lejeune, I'd switch my into specialized as a contracting officer. So I'd actually go out onto the local economy and, you know, okay, we can't get this through regular supply channels. Now it's my job to go out and get it for them.
Like what?
Lumber
or things like that? Or what were you looking to get? Like, well, Lucky Strikes?
Lucky Strikes. No. No, the best one I always think of is we were actually over in Turkey, and we had a Caterpillar bulldozer,
mm-hmm.
and it broke down on the beach for a part, and to get it through the regular supply channels would have been at least 2 weeks. Well, Caterpillar's an international company, so there's a Caterpillar dealer in the next little town up in this, in Turkey, so I went up there, and thank God their parts book had pictures.
Oh, yeah, it's all in Turkish.
Yeah, so I just pointed, I need this, and they actually had it on a shelf, took it back, and I was a hero to, you know. But that was my job, was to go out and, a scrounger.
Yeah, okay. All right, that's not a bad name for it.
Yeah.
So now, I got to ask this. When you were deployed in active duty, what's the worst MRE that you had? What was the one where when you open it up and you're like, ah, dang it, because I met with some Marines a little while ago, and they said the worst one they had, this is in current history, and I'm not sure if it was still the same, was vegetarian omelet.
Oh, I could eat those.
Oh, you didn't mind vegetarian omelet?
Well, they didn't have them when I was in.
Oh, okay.
I want to say, God, it was something to do with tuna, and it's like,
ooh,
yeah.
You're already not sounding good.
Yeah, as long as I couldn't eat tuna anyway, it's like, yeah, it's all yours.
Oh, so you couldn't eat any seafood?
None.
Oh. So now, when you were in, did they still have the cigarettes and the little chocolate and things like that in there? Oh,
nope.
Dang.
They had taken them out. The chocolate, yes, but not the cigarettes were replaced with gum.
Oh, come on.
I know.
Yeah, guys over there taking shrapnel in the biscuits. You can't give them a couple Lucky Strikes.
That's the way it worked.
I suppose. So you were back in the States, and then you were married, and then you weren't married.
Well, yeah, no. In the time I was married, I ended up deploying for most of that time anyway.
Okay, but then when you were back and then you weren't married anymore, what did you do after that? After you got back, you're back for a year.
And, oh, yeah. Well, then my daughter and I, we moved. I got orders to go to Barstow, California.
Oh.
My boss told me he'd set it up where I'd be home every night with my daughter. I wouldn't deploy anymore for, you know, about 3 years.
Okay.
He didn't lie. As soon as we got there at nighttime, got a hotel room, I opened up the door the next morning, looked out the window, and go, what the heck did I do to get him so mad at me? There's nothing out there.
It's like, I know from what I know from Hunter S. Thompson, Barstow is just outside of Vegas.
It's 2 hours outside
of
Vegas.
Well, yeah, between Vegas and L.A., it's a little stop
yeah,
in between
gas station,
the two.
Yeah.
That's not a What were you doing in Barstow?
Well, that's actually a Marine Corps logistics base for the West Coast is out there in Barstow.
Okay.
And, of course, there wasn't a whole lot to do out there, but they did have the Marine Corps Mounted Color Guard, which is all wild Mustangs that were caught up by the Bureau of Land Management. They were greenbroken by inmates that were either on death row or they had life without parole.
Hmm.
You can greenbreak these horses or you can sit in your cell. And then the Marine Corps had first choice of those horses because they had to be a certain size, certain color to match, you know, matching everything.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get those things and we'd assign one person to one horse, and that was the only person that was allowed to work with that horse. But because I was one of the senior people there, I actually ended up with two.
Oh.
And
well, you're kind of an animal whisperer, and we'll get into that here in a little while. Were you always an animal guy?
Yeah, well, yeah, I've always been an animal person.
Okay.
Yeah, starting with working on that farm with my cousins.
Yeah, yeah, with the dairy cows. You got to know what you're doing, otherwise the cows aren't going to produce as much milk.
Well, true.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you got
to
be.
You
at
you
least
have
know
to treat
your
them
way.
Right.
That's right. Yeah, you at least
got
to know
right.
and enjoy being around animals to some extent because it's a lot to deal with. I mean, they smell like hell.
Well, you get used to it. I miss that smell a lot.
Take a drive 5 minutes outside of Madison, you get a big old whiff of that right now, pretty much in any direction that you're
this
in.
This is true.
So you're dealing with the horses, and how did you like that?
Oh, man, that was great. We were in the Rose Bowl Parade the 3 years I was there. Wisconsin was actually, the Badgers actually, second to the last year, the second year I did it, the Badgers were actually in the Rose Bowl.
Was that with Ron Dane?
Ron Dane.
Oh.
Well, I think he was. I really...
Or maybe the year, because they had a pretty good run there in the 90s, around 92, 93, 94, somewhere around there. They had a pretty
this
good run there.
This would have been 99.
Oh, 99?
Yeah, 98, 99.
That was Ron
there.
Dane then. Yes, okay. It was. Yep, that was. Heck yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
But yeah, we were in the parade every year. And then, you know, we do all the training. I still had to do my job. That was just an extra thing I picked up to volunteer doing. There's that word, volunteer.
There it is again. That'll come. That'll show up here in a little
always,
bit.
You know, I could take my daughter with me wherever we went. So, you know, I didn't need a babysitter.
Oh, yeah. Heck, yeah.
So it was fun.
So what did you do after that?
Let's see. That's when I actually retired from the Marine Corps.
How old were you?
39.
And what's retirement age for being able to retire from the service?
20 years. Whatever you come in, you can go 20 years.
You did your 20 years?
Yeah, I did 22.
Yeah. And I'm good now.
Yeah, I did 22. I'm done. Well, only because I needed to raise my daughter.
Yeah.
You know how that is.
Yeah, I got one. Yeah, I kind of need you around.
Yeah, there's only so much you can do with, you know, duct taping up and throwing them in a closet.
Hey, protective services shows up.
I don't know. They get upset about that.
Whatever. Shed a water dish. Come on. So now, do you get a pension and all that stuff when you're in the service?
Yeah, I get a retirement check every month.
That's not too bad.
It's my retirement fund.
Oh, okay. That's pretty nice. I mean, at least they take care of you, you know, after giving 22 years of dedicated service to the country. That's wonderful.
Oh, thanks. That was fun.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And you, of course, yeah, you're like, hey, I'd have done that crap for free. It was a lot of, it was a hoot.
Oh, yeah. It was a lot of fun.
So after you retired, you're 39 years old. You got your daughter. What did you do after that?
Well, I actually was hired by the city of Appleton to be a supervisor over their public works inventory before I even retired.
More parts type stuff?
More parts type stuff.
Logistics kind of thing? That's what you're good at?
Yeah. So I did that for 3 years, and then that was a LTE job, and after 3 years...
What's LTE?
Limited term employment.
Okay.
After the money for that job dried up, I knew I was getting laid off, so I started looking again, and before I actually was laid off, I had a job working for the city of Madison, and here I am. Oh, that was the other thing. I wanted to come back to Wisconsin because that was where the best schools I knew for my daughter.
So when you were younger, you need to get out of Madison, and you're never coming back. I'm hopping on a jet plane, take me over to whatever the hell country you got. But then when you're older, you're like, we got to come back home.
Yeah, I have responsibilities now. I have a daughter I have to raise. She's got some special needs. So, you know, where's the best schools I know? Darn, I got to go home.
I bet your mom and dad were happy to see you.
Oh, yeah. They were glad to see, especially my daughter.
Absolutely. They got a grandkid around. Do you have any brothers or sisters?
I have four sisters, one brother.
Wow. So you got a whole team over there.
Yeah.
Do they live in Madison or they move out?
Let's see. One's in Sun Prairie. One's in Middleton. Brother's up in Door County in Chicago. He's doing that Illinois thing. He moved to Chicago and he bought a place up in Door County.
Oh, hey. You got a relative that has a place in Door County. That's pretty good.
Well, that's where I'm going on vacation.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying there. Yeah, he's doing all right. Yeah. So that's always it. You don't need to be like super rich and successful. You just gotta hope one of your family members hits something
and then
they let you crash at their place every once in a while.
I do that for free at his place.
There you go.
My girlfriend and I go up there a lot for free.
See, there you go.
I'm not as dumb as that looks.
Is he an older brother or younger brother?
Younger.
Well, that he has to. He has no choice, otherwise you might beat him up.
Well, this is true. Yeah. And that happened a lot when we were growing up.
Yeah, I'm a younger brother, I'm well aware. Of the hierarchy on how it works.
Then I have a sister in D.C. and I have another one that lives here in Madison.
Okay, so family pretty much right here. Nice, tightly knit group of folks that you got going on there.
Oh yeah, and then Ma's still driving at 91.
Is she really?
Yeah, she lives in her house by herself. Oh yeah. But that's okay, you know.
She get around okay? Her
she
vision
gets
okay?
Around okay. Oh yeah.
Okay. I've been on a campaign lately about folks over 70 maybe shouldn't drive. I keep on having run-ins with people where it's like, you didn't see me, and if we were at a farmer's market, you would mow down 65 people. You need to find someone to drive you around. But is she stubborn?
She is very stubborn, and I agree with you 100%.
But you couldn't say it to her though.
I have.
Oh, whatever. I'm your mom. You don't talk to me that way.
I was the black sheep of the family for a couple of years for saying it.
So when did you start volunteering at the Humane Society and why?
It was about 10, 11 years ago. I ended up with a misdiagnosed, a thyroid cancer. And I saw all these people, you know, whining and moping. Woe is me, woe is me. And I said, that is not me at all. So, you know, girlfriend I had at the time, we went to this one, to PetSmart, and there was a dog there, and it got away from the person that was showing it for adoption, came running over. We were picking up cat litter stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Came over, laid down on my boot, and wouldn't move.
Oh.
And she comes over. The lady came over and was like, what did you do to that dog? I said, nothing. She goes, you had to do something. It hates men. I was like, yeah, right, okay.
Yeah.
So then she gave us the leash, gave my girlfriend the leash to take it for a walk because she wanted the dog now. The dog wouldn't move until I moved.
Oh, heck yeah.
Little rat terrier. Oh, he was cool. But then, yeah, then took out for a walk and stuff. Anyway, it was going to be her dog, so we had to find out she rents to make sure that it was okay to have the, you know, pets.
And mm-hmm.
It was okay, so you know, I put down a deposit, went down, paid for the dog, and then at the shelter, Dane County Humane Society, mm-hmm. and then sure enough, the dog got hurt while it was down there. Had to spend 2 more weeks there.
Aww.
They did the surgery on his paw. I went down there every day and sat with that dog for hours. You know, after work and on the weekends, the dog would curl up in my lap, fall asleep, and I'd be sitting there reading stuff, whatever was available. And I ran across the volunteer application. Oh, let's see. Dogs, cats, yeah, I'd do it, but I'd want to take all of them home with me. And then I ran, it's like, wildlife caretaker. Heck, I'll give that a try. And that's how I started doing wildlife rescue and rehab.
Now, explain some of the crazy stories and some of the because there's one of my favorite pictures that you showed me, and it was a bald eagle that I'm not sure if you pulled it out of a tree, picked it off the ground. I don't know, but you were inside of the office. Looked like you were maybe inside of the doctor's office inside the Humane Society, and you got a big beard and you got long hair, and you looked disheveled, and that eagle was pissed off, and it looked like it got all American all over you. Like, how scary is it picking up something that's got, because you've shown me pictures, these things are raptors.
Oh,
they've
yeah.
got huge, they've got claws the size of my hand.
Oh, yeah.
Like, how scary is that?
It's scary, but don't be afraid of them because they can sense it, but oh. respect them.
If they sense it, then they got you.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. So, and you know, that's my whole thing is like, I try to think, how am I going to catch this thing? How am I going to handle it? How am I going to do whatever? But I do respect them, and I'm going to be the boss one, and I'm going to be the one in charge.
So when you're up in a tree, because you climbed 60 feet. What's the highest you've climbed?
131 feet.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Into a tree?
Well, yeah, that was my friend and I, who's actually an arborist. I used to do all the freehand climbing with no safety equipment, no ropes, no nothing, and him and I met up and got to be good friends, and he's like making me, because I did have the equipment, I just didn't really know how to use it.
Yeah, so, who needs all that stuff?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, 130-foot fall, that's only going to kill you.
Well, I was with him, but, you know, he showed me how to use it, and him and I worked together in team, and it's great because him and I can actually work together, and we don't even have to talk. We know what each other is going to do and what they have to do, kind of like in the Marine Corps.
Almost like that.
Almost
like you have training for something like that.
Yeah. So then, we went up there to re-nest some baby owls. We actually, the babies will fall out of the nest, and then we'll get them, and we want to get them back to the parents as soon as possible because they raise them better than we can.
Oh.
So we'll build a nest on the ground with out of a bushel basket and a bunch of pine branches, then climb up.
Pine branches? You couldn't go like oak pines, pokey as hell.
That's what they make them. Great horned owls make terrible nests.
That's terrible. Pine is the last one I would. It's good for burning because you got the sap in there.
No. This is with all the little needles and everything on there. They're nice and soft.
I got a pine tree in my front yard. I'm hoping lightning strikes that damn thing every time it storms. Every time the city's out trimming trees, I'm like, you knock this thing out right here. I hate this damn thing.
I'll make you one and I'll show you what it's like. Okay. Actually, I have one in my basement that I didn't use this year. But yeah, we'll build them on the ground. Carry them up in the tree. If there's still any babies still in the nest, we'll take those babies out too. We'll put the new nest on top of the old nest and then tie it in there so it doesn't fall out. And then put the babies in. Mom and dad come back and use that nest until it disintegrates. And because it's all, you know, bushel basket wood, there is metal in there, but the wood and the pine boughs, they all disintegrate, so it's environmentally friendly.
Yeah.
But yeah, one day him and I went up, I forget how many we did that day, but we were actually 131 feet up in the tree re-nesting the babies, and then the next day, a Sunday, I was like, I'm just going to stay home, sit down, watch TV, let the dog curl up next to me, feed up, and I got a call from some people, and I ended up about 10 feet below ground in the sewers of Monona to rescue a baby fox that was trapped in there.
Oh, no, a little, I always call foxes cat dogs. Looks like someone took a cat and a dog and mixed them together. Yes.
Yeah,
they jump like a cat, but they look like a dog. So you saved a baby fox?
The next day, yeah. It was in the sewer. Its mother could not get down in the sewer because of the catch basins on both ends of the pipe.
Oh, so now someone who's never been in a sewer, how bad is the smell?
It's bad.
Do you have to wear a mask? Is there some kind of, there's noxious gases in some areas, or were you not down that deep?
Well, I was only 10 feet and both ends of the thing was open. I probably should have had a mask on.
Once again, not wearing the safety gear. So what's your technique? Let's say you've got an eagle. He's in a tree. All right. You got to go get it. Have you ever had to go get one out of a tree?
No, but the one you're talking about, that picture, that was the only one that I've been involved with that was actually natural problem, that instead of a human intervention or human caused problem.
Yeah.
It was in its nest, and there was a storm, and the storm actually blew the nest over, and it was pinned under the nest.
And they make big nests,
too. They're huge.
Huge.
They're huge. So it was on the side of a hill, too. So
was it on the ground?
It was on the ground, but the bird was pinned underneath it.
Mm.
And it was under there for a couple days. So somebody finally got a hold of me. I went out there. I dug through that nest. It was pouring down rain on the side of a steep hill. When I finally got to it, I was, got a hold of her. It was a female. Got a hold of her.
How can you tell?
Their size. Females are larger.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
By much?
Let's see. This one was 18 pounds. I want to say the biggest male I've ever had was 12.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a big difference.
Yeah.
Hmm. Now, are their colorings and everything the exact same?
The same.
I know there's like ducks or like some animals, like the pretty one's a male because you got to attract them chicks.
That's it. Yeah. Like us with the beards. That's We're exactly so pretty right. with those beards.
That's right, ladies. You know what you like.
I'm off the market. So are you.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Drats. So now what's your technique? Like when you go up to an animal, are you like, oh, come over here, sweetie. Do you baby talk it? Or are you like, all right, listen here, pal. You're going to get in the bag and we're going to go on back down. Or do you not talk at all?
I don't talk at all unless I have other people with me.
Now I'm the weird one that I would be talking to animals. Great. Now that's out.
No, I did talk to that eagle and I dug him out saying, don't worry, I'm here. And I'm trying in a real soothing voice.
Sweet talking him.
I'm here to help you. I'm not here to hurt you.
Put them claws away, bro. Like it's you and me right now.
Well, that's the first thing I grab is the claws. Then the wings, because the wings can hurt. The wings can hurt themselves and you.
Also, an eagle wing is, what, about 3 feet, 2 feet? I mean, their wingspan.
The wingspan is about 6 foot.
It's 6 foot?
Yeah.
Oh, those birds are even bigger than I thought. Yeah. My God.
But yeah, I got her claws, her talons, and then I got her wings, and I flipped her around so I could pin her up against my chest, holding both her talons and one in each hand.
And I'm sure she was calm.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
her wings, I got them pinned with my arms holding her so that she can't hurt herself or me with her wings, but her head was still free, so she's flipping around trying to bite me.
And that beak's about 4 inches long. That's huge and razor sharp.
Oh, yeah, I've been bitten in the face by one. If one been for the safety glasses, I probably would have lost an eye, if not both.
Oh, my God.
Took a chunk out of my cheek and a chunk out of the bridge of my nose.
Woo!
There's a little scar left, but actually Fletch took that picture that you saw because I scooted down the hill on my butt in the rain and the mud. This thing's trying to kill me. And we had about an 8-hour battle, her and me. And when I got her back, I like to say the expression on both our faces, like, okay, we're going to call it a draw.
Yeah, the picture of the bird, you were like, I'm done. The bird was like, I'm going to be done right now, but I can still kill you. Like, it still had a look in its eye. I'm like, I'm going to get you.
Fletch didn't take that picture. Somebody else did. The next day, Fletch took the picture because I went in there because we had to tube feed that thing because it had been without food and water for so long.
Oh, my God.
So I go in there to catch it up out of the cage, and As soon as I walked in, the thing puffed up like it's going
to
kill me.
It's ready to go.
Yeah, and I just said, hey, don't worry. Remember me. I'm not here to hurt you. The thing relaxed and let me hold her, pick her out, and then tube feed her.
You know, animals aren't stupid. They understand when someone's there to cause them harm. And I can't say over. I can't say if a grizzly bear, if you run on one of them and you go, hey, he's going to be nice to you. But, you know, if you did something for an animal, you know, like the old, what is it, like the lion with the
thorn in the paw.
Thorn in the paw, yeah. You know? I mean, the mouse pulled him out and it's like, hey, you know, we're homies now because you helped me out. Animals aren't dumb. They understand when someone's there to do them harm.
Oh,
and
exactly.
They remember, you know, like crows. I don't know if you know this. People that do testing on crows, they have to wear masks because crows can remember your face.
Everybody down at the wildlife center, whenever we, especially babies, but crows, babies, baby animals, we wear masks so that they can't see us.
Yes. How crazy. And why is no one weaponizing that yet? Like, you know, the Air Force should be run by crows.
Well, they're coming in with the lightsabers too, okay?
That's right. We have Space Force now. We're on to whole different kinds of crap now. We're about to be beamed up is what's going to happen there.
I have a friend writing a book about, you know,
crows?
Politics, and he's actually got animals involved. And with the military using wild animals.
Well, I mean, you know, you look back in the day, people have used rhinos, you know, elephants and things like that you know, that they've had for like tanks and things like that. And, you know, we had carrier pigeons during the wars.
I was about to say carrier pigeons.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah, dogs sniffing out bombs. They're not wild, but, you know, but still.
Falconry, that's been around forever.
Yep. Yeah. I got to say, being a Marine would be cool, but if like, what division were you in? We're in the falconry, part of the Marines. Like, all right, okay. Like, you're basically a superhero then, right?
I'm like, I want to be in a space force.
You might be able to enlist.
I want one of those lightsabers.
I think so, too. I just want to be beamed places.
Oh, that'd be cool,
I don't care what your politics are. If we can get, because here's the way I see it. You know, I wasn't a Star Trek fan, but I've seen enough to know what's going on. They are pretty much a space force. It's essentially what they are, from the, you know, the United States and things like that. I say we get some Enterprises going. I say we start beaming some people around. I say we start making this kind of crap happen. Find ourselves a Captain Kirk. I think we're good.
Well, I think, though, because instead of just going to war right away with the Klingons, I think we ought to just try and, you know, make friends with them.
From what I've seen, we don't want to do that. Yeah. That doesn't end well all the time.
Being friends, you know, with them or starting a war?
Starting wars with them.
Yeah, I'd rather make friends with
them. We want to make friends with them.
Yeah.
We need them around for when we get to feel the wrath of Khan. There's a Star Wars nerd that's loving this or getting super upset at this. I'm not sure which one of these. Star Trek. I just said Star Wars. Now he's mad.
I was like, I don't watch Star Trek and Star Wars. I'm sorry, honey. My girlfriend and her family love Star Wars. It's like,
my best friend.
I've never seen one.
My best friend, too. And I'm like, Iron Man's not in it. I can't talk. I'm a big comic book nerd. Like, someone had a bunch of stickers all over their car. They're a big Star Wars fan, but stickers all over their car. And they had some license plate that said something. I went, man. How can you be that into something? And then I realized I have several Legos tattooed on my body. And I was I'll shut up now. I can't say anything about anybody liking anything. I've got a Lego version of myself on my own neck. So
true.
So how many birds or wild animals would you say that you have rescued in your tenure over there at the Dane County Humane Society?
I don't have a clue.
Really? That many?
Yes.
How many years have you been volunteering?
Over 10.
How many years are you going to continue to volunteer? Because I don't want to offend you here. You volunteered at Project Home, and you're my guy in the sky. But we all get old at some point. You seem to have an ability to defy age.
No.
How much longer do you think you can climb into them trees?
As long as I can. I've asked people to go out with me so I could train them on this. You know, this is how I do it. You know.
Yeah.
This is how you can find these nests. This is how you can, you know. But every time I take somebody with me, they're like, we got to climb that tree, and they're playing with their phone, and it's like, I can't do that. And it's like, there's the problem. You didn't even try.
Yeah.
You said you can't, so you can't. So.
You know, I always tell my daughter, we're Americans, not Americans.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
Well, I've heard that before, but I like that.
I got it from George Lopez. He told his son they're Mexicans, not Mexicans, and I just went ahead and adopted it to Americans.
Okay.
Same thing.
Same thing.
Yeah, but I got to give credit to him, even though he steals jokes from other people. That's a topic for a different day.
Okay. But
well, what's in the future? What's on the horizon for you? Do you have any other volunteer activities coming up? I know that you're going to be hanging out with your buddy Santa Claus coming up in the wintertime. You do a lot of stuff for Geo's Garden.
Oh yeah.
Like, what are some of the other organizations that you're looking forward to be working with? You know, in the next couple of months or so, do you think?
Well, I know Columbia County Humane Society. In August, we're doing this Cruising for Critters with them.
Do other humane societies, like, have they called you and been like, hey, look, we need someone to come get this, and we know that you guys have a good guy over there. Can you send him over to us?
Oh, come on. They don't call me a good guy. They say, yeah, that idiot that, you know, that old guy that's defying logic. Or
does Dane County call him like, hey, just get him out of here for a day. We've had enough of him.
That's more like it.
That's great. And
yeah, no, there's all kinds of different organizations that we'll call governmental too. I don't want to mention them.
Yeah,
they're all friends.
I don't need
of
to be
mine.
On the list, so I don't want to be investigated.
They're all real good friends of mine, and they have certain work rules that they can't break. So that's why I ended up in a sewer.
Oh yeah, that's good. See, that's what's going to happen. You know, you get sent to Barstow, then you get put into a sewer.
Yeah, well, both sewers.
Yeah.
One's just above ground.
Yeah. Well, you know, ever since I've met you, I've been drawn to you because there's certain people that you can see that
you're
have
not my type.
We have the beard though.
Oh, that's it.
But you know, you can see there's certain people that have a light inside of them, and in the last few years of my life, I feel bad because I've taken so much from people that I've gotten to know like you, and I've been able to grow. But you know, I feel like I haven't been able to give as much as I've been able to get, and just being around you, you've actually are a beloved member of my friend family and my family. You live kind of in legacy and legend in my family. Like, you're always spoken of in the highest regard, and that is 100% the truth. My wife loves you and just thinks it's the greatest when she gets to see you.
You mean I'm no longer a legend in my own mind?
Yeah, you are now a legend in other people's minds. They may be crazy, but you're still a legend in their minds. And once again, you know, we have a lot of people on here on this podcast that end up doing a lot of great things for the community and are incredibly humble, and you're shaking your head at me, but you know that you do nice things, and you know that people are appreciative of the things that you do, and you don't do it for pats on the back.
No.
You got enough of those.
Yeah.
You do it just because you're a good person, but that's what makes you an even. It's kind of like when you look into a mirror that's pointing at a mirror and it just keeps on going. That's what you don't do it for the pats on the back, but you get it. You do it for your good person because you're a good person and you're a good person, and that's how that goes.
I was just saying, I have fun doing it.
That's another thing too.
Oh, that's the other thing. I got to get a walker.
What's that?
You know, a walker?
Yeah, a walker.
Because over the years, my friend, you know, because the beard and the hair is turning white.
You're not getting minus two, but you're beating me. You're a few years older.
Yeah, and it used to just be bleached.
Yeah, you don't have to do it.
It's getting less and less bleached.
You haven't bleached it all this year, have you?
Yeah, no, not since last year. Not since last Christmas.
So that's
Christmas.
All natural right now.
Yeah, it's all natural.
I don't think you have to bleach it this year.
But I want to get a walker so that, because over the years, people have, you know, my buddy and me are up in the trees. The homeowner will come out and talk to, you know, the person we have on the ground going, is it really safe for that old man to be up that tree? So all I want to do is get a walker and actually use the walker, go up to the tree, and then throw the rope in there and start climbing.
That would be phenomenal. Well, you know what I always say about my beard, because if I've had friends ask me if I'm going to, you know, dude, you going to dye those gray out of there? But, you know, your beard and your hair, you've earned every single one of those gray hairs, and that comes from a life well lived. Is what that is. And I really appreciate you coming in and telling your story. And I appreciate you being a member of our community. We've got a lot of great people here. And our community is better because of people like you. So, John, thank you. Thank you so much. John Croc. Now that I know that I'm saying that, I've never asked you how to pronounce your name. I just thought I had it right. And I'm going to have to let the other people know around the shop that it's a Croc.
Yeah, Croc. Well, never mind. You see how much it bothers me? I don't care.
Tune in next week for another episode of Jackson's American Tales, when we're going to talk to a guy who's worn a lot of hats and some helmets, B.J. Breacher. He was a college football player, an Arena League football player, if you remember that, a bass player, and an awesome fireman. We're going to find out all about his journey, so enjoy Jackson's American Tales. If you like this, please click share, drop us a review on iTunes or Google Play, let your friends know. Getting the word out is kind of how we get the word out. Thank you, and hope you enjoyed this episode of Jackson's American Tales.